The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I would invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Look what I have with me this morning. Do you know what this is? Games. I love games. I like games so much that some of these games I've taught myself to play all by myself. Do you play games? What kind of games do you play? You play this one? You play the game on the bottom, Monopoly? Yeah. Oh, wow. Good, you play with your friends. Who writes the rules for these games? No, I don't think so, not these games. But we'll get there real quick. Who writes the rules? No. The person who makes the games. That's right. Do you ever make up games?
No.
No. You make games when you play outside? You don't play outside. Well, maybe you make up games with your friends. You know, there is a game, or some people have talked about life being like a game. And you know who wrote the rules for that game? It's right here. You know what this is? The Bible. Who wrote the rules for the Bible? God did. You are absolutely right. He wrote the rules for our life. And in the gospel that Vicar Hans just read, one Sunday morning, Jesus was probably like in Sunday school. He was teaching. And as he was teaching, the people were astonished. Do you know what that means? Astonished. They couldn't believe it. It just seemed like he knew more about those rules than their regular teachers. And that's exactly right, because God created the world, he created us, and he made rules for us to live by. And they're found in the Bible. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us rules to make our lives better. Amen. Thank you for coming up.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The first church I grew up in was in Watrous, Saskatchewan. Watrous is about 2,000 miles north of here and just a little to the west. It's the better part of another 200 miles above the Montana line. It doesn't take much explaining then to imagine that the winters up there are just a bit colder than they are here. Though I had wondered over the last little bit if we weren't going to give them a run for their money. But the average high temperature up there during January is right about 2 degrees, so we weren't quite able to match them. A Watrous is about the same size as Yorktown, I mean, give or take 100 folks or so. And you can probably imagine that while there is agriculture up there, it's not quite the same as around here. Now, one thing I learned, even as a small child in that part of the world, was that no matter how cold it got, if you ran a dairy, cows were going to get milked. And if they didn't, you were going to know about it. Giving milk is what Holsteins are meant to do, and they would get plenty frustrated if they weren't given that opportunity on a daily or even twice daily basis. No matter what the world wanted to do, no matter how brutally cold it got, or how long it was going to take before the sun came up in the morning, those cows wanted to do the thing that they were meant to do. Even at 4:30 in the morning, in the freezing cold, there is still something important about a thing doing what it was meant to do. And so, for us, then not only is there an idea about being brought to the place where we can do the thing that we are meant to do, but we also need to learn how to do the things that we are meant to do. Our psalm this morning is doing just that. It gives praise for God's beloved creation being called to do what we were created to do. And it expresses the shape of that life. It helps us learn the shape of life that we are meant to live in God. Now, parents and preachers have, for a long time, been telling people that they are supposed to go to church. And while we may have a sense of this, when it comes time to teach about it, it often comes out as a rule, as a thing you have to do, or a thing that you are supposed to do. But the psalmist has a very different expression. Here, as we speak these words in our own voice this morning, we learn that we have been created to echo that first hallelujah, which is spoken in thanksgiving, because we, like the psalmist, are able to be among God's people, in the assembly, in the congregation, worshiping our Lord. It is by the grace of God that we are able to come and worship Him. And for this, we give thanks. At our most basic level, this, joyfully joining together to worship our Creator, this is what we were created to do. This is how we are meant to participate in God's love, the love which was poured out to create us in the very beginning. We are thankful to be gathered together in God's presence, gathered to worship Him. Those who are gathered in the assembly are meant to delight in the Lord, as the psalmist continues. Now, there are two high points in our worship together, two pieces at the heart of corporate Christian worship. The first, which the psalmist begins with, is hearing the word of the Lord. Great are the deeds of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Our time in worship is filled with Scripture. The language of our liturgy is steeped in the language of the Bible. And our first high point in our worship of our Lord is when we, as the whole congregation, hear of God's work handed down through the ages in the form of Scripture, meant to be read in the midst of the assembly and opened up in the preaching of the Word, because His work is full of majesty and splendor. And we are meant to hear and speak His word aloud and among the people, because His righteousness endures forever and will not be suppressed or forgotten. In the public reading of the word and in the preaching, we learn about the marvelous works of the Lord, so that we, as a community of believers, can awaken and carry forward our remembrance of the Lord's gracious and compassionate work in the world. After we move through this first high point in our worship life together, we begin moving to the pinnacle experience of our Christian life, where we are moved from remembering what we were created for to experiencing the gifts our Creator has given us. The Lord gives food to those who fear Him because He is ever mindful of His covenant. When we come to the table to be fed the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, our Lord is sustaining us and nourishing us. When we come to the table, our sins are being forgiven, and we are being granted new and eternal life. That eternal life with our Savior is what the covenant promises to grant us. And because our Lord is ever mindful of His covenant with us, He calls us to come to the table as often as we can come. Further on, the psalmist again speaks about God's covenant, about how God sent redemption to His people. That is, how He sent His only Son to die so that we might live in Him forever. And it is this covenant, that the Lord has commanded forever, that is being fulfilled as often as we can come and receive the Holy Sacrament. The psalmist, speaking the word of God, long before he could understand what was going to happen, has given us a picture of what we were shaped to do when God created us. Worship together as a whole body of Christ. Worship in word and sacrament. This is what we were shaped to do. And when we do it, we can give thanks, because it is in learning and living out these patterns of life that we come to know more and more of our Lord. The psalmist says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, helping us to learn that these patterns which God has set for us are not random or arbitrary, because those who act accordingly have a good understanding of the shape of life that the Lord desires His creation to live. A pattern that, as we learn to live into it, bears witness to the Lord, so that His praise may endure forever. A pattern that, when we are given the opportunity to live and worship in, we begin to understand that this, worshiping together, hearing the word and being fed in the sacrament, in this, we are becoming the thing which is finally doing what it was meant to do, so that we may, once again and with an even fuller voice, echo the psalmist and look to our God, saying, "Hallelujah! I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation, because this is a gift of life, and we are blessed every time we get to come and worship our Lord." Amen.